Log Talk Radio.
It's 3 p.m., and I have a question for you. Do you know where your politicians are? Everything is political in your life, from the moment you're born to the moment you die. And when a politician tells you that's not true, look in your pocket. You'll find their hand in it. Everything is political. We will be talking to those politicians that are working for you and talking about those politicians that are working against you. Just because they're a Democrat, or just because they're a Republican, and you voted that way your entire life, maybe you were wrong. Because everybody is not what they seem to be. However, there are a few out there who are working for your benefit, and we are going to bring them to you. We're going to let you hear them. We're going to ask them questions. We're going to let you ask them questions. And we're going to be discussing education system, the military, science, music, sports, oh, and health care. Do you have it? Do you need it? Are your 26-year-olds still on the family health care plan? Or, as the regressive party says, Obamacare. We will bring you what you need to know, because this is the last word. And everything, from the cities, counties, state, nation, the entire world. So sit down and get a pencil, paper, and take this graduate education experience. And we will make sure that you have the last word. My name is Michael Lawson.
afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm trying to get my headset on here. I had a choice doing the headset or doing the remote little earplugs, but I'm doing headset here. Anyway, how's everybody? That's what we're going on with the show. We got, matter of fact, right now, Secretary of DHS on there said we will not tolerate mistreatment of immigrants. And anyone that has done that will be disciplined immediately. They're working on a problem right now where they showed that the immigrants down there were chased with horses. And they said they had whips, but it wasn't the whips. It was the reins of the horses. It doesn't matter what the whips. They were hit with the whips. Those people will face their due and just desert, the DHS secretary has said. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Michael Lawson, and this is The Last Word in Everything. I tell you, boy, it is just getting... Well, before I even get to that, I know you guys have to try to get used to me being back on the air. I have been off the air since the end of March because I had the operation on the 5th. And I didn't tell you that I was going to be coming back so long because I did not know it was going to take this long. I did not know. But this is how it goes. I have a little problem here. I have to upload these. And how do I upload these? Oh, yeah, I know. I got to go back to the studio. Okay, anyway, this is a little interior stuff that I'm working on here. It's been so long, so you forget. You forget. I've been doing this for 12 years. Over 12 years. 14 years. Come on, what's going on? And you forget how to operate the system when they have a whole new program in the system, how to bring up your mini talk-a-thon with the people. You got to copy this, you got to paste this. I mean, give me a freaking break. Anyway, oh no, that's not what I want. See, I got to cross it out. This is what I want right down here. And I copy this. And we're going to have a good show today. The show is going to be about what is happening in this particular, right there. What's happening with the COVID? What's happening in the, you heard those nonsensical morons, where they have just broadcast bullshit. That's what it is. I mean, how do these people ever, why do they ever give these people who talk, yeah, I understand we're supposed to give everybody a chance to talk. But when you're talking bullshit, and you know you're talking bullshit, and everybody else knows you're talking bullshit, what the hell is going on? Why should bullshit get a chance to be heard? Why is that? Where does it say that bullshit should be heard? I never said that. I don't know anything about bullshit being heard. It's outrageous. And this is a problem. It's outrageous. It is outrageous. And what is all that about? Okay, I did that. Okay, I did that. And then I'm supposed to do that? Am I supposed to copy? What am I supposed to do here? What's the story? I have no idea why that is making that sound, but let's take this all out. And I'm talking to myself, you know, as I'm talking to you. It's all a matter of nonsense. And what was I saying? Oh, I was saying that. Okay. Of course, we're going to have people call me while I'm doing my show. But yes. I'm on the air. I'm on the air. Okay, bye. Anyway, I just told, yeah, so I'm on the air. Anyway, but they don't care. They just call me anyway. So here's the thing. Oh, that's what was going on. I put this in here, in there, then hit this, and I believe uploading it. Oh, that's what it is. Okay. Now, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday. He said, Did you hear what they were saying about those horses down there in where the immigrants are? I said, no, I didn't. Oh, my gosh, it's terrible. I said, it is. I know it is. But what did I hear? Well, that they were having the horses eat the immigrants' food, going right over there, and the horses would take the food from the immigrants. I said, oh, really? Now, who and where did you hear this from? He said, well, I read it when it was somebody said it on the air, and, that's the wrong thing. Someone said it. I said, well, who said it? Well, I don't know who, but it was a person that's in the know. I said, oh, really? I said, well, how do you know that they're in the know? He said, well, I know because they told me. They told you? What did they tell you? They told me that they heard, oh, now it's somebody that you heard, but now something that you heard that someone else heard. So no one has heard anything. You're just hearing something that is part of a storyline. You do not know this for a fact. No, I don't know it for a fact, but I know that people have been, their food has been taken away by the horses. I said, now, have you ever, why does this keep coming up like this? I got to get rid of some reason why my, okay, let me close it out. And it goes back in now. Maybe that'll do the difference. I'm trying to which I didn't do, and I'm sorry. Anyway, so this is what we are dealing with now. We have to deal with people that are we have to deal with people that not only have a mindset to listen to nonsense that they hear and swear that it has to be true. We say, well, how do they know it's true? Because they know. They know that it's true. Well, how do they know that it's true? Why? I don't understand. How do they know that it's true? And you keep hearing it that they know because they were there. They were there doing what? He said, well, they were there when it was played on the radio. Oh, so it's not something that they are aware of, not something that they personally saw themselves. This is something that someone told them about, is what you're telling me. Is that what you're telling me? Someone told them about something that they heard? Well, how can you listen to something that someone told you that they heard? I don't understand that. How can you be certain that what you heard was something that should be praised and played on the radio or on television if it's only something that you heard? Because if it's something that you heard, how can we actually believe that it's true? But what I'm trying to say, there are so many people out there that believe these things that they hear. They believe them. Why do they believe them? Because they have nothing else to do but believe them. They have nothing else to do but believe them. Now, why is that? That is there. Why do they believe these people? I have no... See, now, I don't understand what's going on here. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just... I don't know. Decision required. Okay, so... Oh, I know. See... I'm trying to get things done here, and I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, I'll take this one. This one, I'll go back to the other one. Okay, I didn't do it, so therefore we'll be done. What I'm doing is I'm trying to get this copied here, and I'm not copying it. And I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, you just hold on just a minute here. It's been a long, long night and a long, long day. And all right, that's there. Okay, that's done. Now, go back here, and I'll copy this and put this in here. Okay. Now, okay, so people are hearing things from people who heard things. They're not seeing it themselves. They're not an eyewitness. They don't know how any of this stuff works. But this is how information is spread across the internet with no follow-up from the internet company to see if what they're saying is true and not just a damn story. You have to believe that you just can't go and start saying what you heard. Because what you heard may not be true. And if you don't have an eyewitness to say that it is true, well, why would you believe it? Why would you spread it out like, oh, this is so important, everybody needs to know? No, it's not important that everybody needs to know. Because if you don't know, and all it is something that was spread, why would you even say it? Why would you even put yourself up to the point where you say things that you don't know factually are true? And this is a problem we have today. I saw a short, and you're going to hear it in one of the clips that we have here. There was a short clip with that clown prince general that was removed and should have been removed under President Obama. But they felt sorry for him because his brother's a general also. They felt sorry for him. And they gave him a job that was not a job that should worry anybody about. It wasn't a job that someone should be worried about. And this is the problem that we have, because he created something in a job that should not have anything to do with how this country runs or how this country does anything that's important, that can't be straightened out. But this man did it. This man made a major screw up. That's what he did. He made a major screw up, and it was impossible to do anything about it but fire his ass, which is what Obama did. And as soon as he was fired, we're talking about Mike Flynn, as soon as he was, I won't even call him general anymore. I don't want to call him general anymore. Just like I don't want to call that drunk guy from New York president ever again. I will never call him president because he was not the president of everybody in this country. He was the president for himself only. The president for himself. That's all he was. He was never a president for the people. He didn't care about the people. All he cared about is how much money can I make in this job before they kick me out. That's what his whole thing was. How much money can I make in this job before they find out what the hell I'm doing and get rid of me? See, he never, ever, ever thought that they would do something like put him in jail. He never dreamt that. Put him in jail? I was the ex-president. They never put an ex-president in jail. No. Evidently, he never watched one of his favorite shows, 24. That's what they did. They didn't put that president in jail. What they did, they put him on a desert island out in the middle of the Pacific where no one could find him, because there's a bunch of islands out there we had never been to. That's where they put his butt. But the Chinese found him. And we're talking about the story of 24. And when the new president was making a speech, it was one of his early speeches, he was smuggled back onto the shores because it was close to a shore. And I don't remember where he was in Hawaii or he was someplace close by. And he was making a speech, the new president. They smuggled him ashore, and then he rushed the podium trying to say that they hijacked me and they wouldn't let me finish my my presidential duties. That's what he said. They wouldn't let me finish my presidential duties. All of these are loading up now, so it's going to take a little bit. But anyway, this is what this clown said, that they hijacked me and got me out of the country because they didn't want me to tell you what I was doing good for the country. He wasn't doing garbage for the country. Nothing was he doing. Nothing he was doing for the country was worth a damn. It was only about himself. That's what it was all about. And that's what it looks like this man wants to do. He wants to be thrown out of the country. And we don't need to throw him out of the country. We can keep him locked up in his own hotel in New York City and put an ankle bracelet on him. And that's it. That's all. That's all we can do for him. We don't need to have him walking around. We don't need to have him walking around. No, we don't. Some people think that we do. But I'm telling you, we don't need to see him walking around. He can be locked up, convicted, and locked up for, I don't know, how many days? Bunch of days. But he doesn't need to go to jail. His jail would be that he can't get out and show people how wonderful he is and how fit he is. That's what we can do with for him. He can be convicted on 1,000 charges. He doesn't think people will turn against him and talk. Well, maybe not. But you know the thing that they always tell, first thing you learn about lawyers, the first thing you learn about being a lawyer is, don't open your mouth unless you know what the answer is. You never ask a question that you don't know what the answer is. That's one of the first things they tell you. That's right. One of the first things they tell you. Just like in Alabama. Oh, God. Did you know, jumping off Mr. Donald J. Trump for a minute, because he's also part of this, and I'll tell you how he is in a minute. Alabama has seen more deaths in 2020 than any year in history. September 16, 2021, while battling the coronavirus, Alabama set a new year record. The state saw more deaths in 2020 than they had ever seen. And the problem is, Alabama, COVID-19. This was said at the Alabama COVID-19 town hall meeting. More people have died since back of the year 1900. That's how far back. And that record was set again in 2020, as I just said. And remember that every 2020, people were inside their houses. They weren't getting out anywhere. They weren't going anywhere, supposedly. You should or you should not have gone anywhere. Anyway, should not have gone anywhere. But the thing is, the people have gone. They have gone back. This clown who wants to be president of the United States, the governor of Florida. He has to go all in now. He can't say, you know what, I was wrong. After all the people in that state have died in Florida. I mean, Florida. How many people have died? I mean, it's just like Florida has more deaths since I don't know when. They have close to 8,000 deaths in Florida. 8,000! It's now in the top 10 of COVID deaths. Top 10. I mean, it's becoming so outrageous. Now, how is this man going to legitimately talk about people who haven't died. We haven't had a lot of deaths here. They had, just on last Thursday, 1,200, over 1,200 deaths. I mean, and 89% of the deaths were from the coronavirus. And none but, I believe it's one? Oh, only 131 of the newly reported deaths, that's 89%, occurred since August 26th, did have the vaccination. 131 out of all of them. Out of the 1,200. So, in all, Florida has recorded at least 3,531,461 confirmed COVID cases and 53,000 plus deaths. I said 7,000. I stand corrected. I don't know what law. Maybe I was thinking 7,000 in a month. I have no idea why I said that, but that's what I'm looking at the record right now. Oh, okay. I was looking at 8,000 deaths that were cumulative in Florida over the month, in the past 7 days, not a month. In the past 7 days, on average, the state has added 328 deaths and 8,227 cases to daily cumulative total, according to the Herald, which is a newspaper, calculation for the CDC. We have a problem here. What is this man talking about? Every time he opens his mouth, he should be shut up. This is like the man telling you, oh, you can come out of the house. Don't worry. The fire will burn around you. Don't worry about it. We don't need a fire department. Yes, we need it so the fire don't spread. But we can get you out of the house. Just come on out. Yeah, I know it's a flame in front of the door, but come on out. Well, wait a minute. He's like saying, well, yeah, well, we know there's a virus there, but you don't have to worry about it because it's not going to bother you. And if it does, it'll be very little. You'll only burn just a little bit. This is what this man is saying. This is exactly what he's saying. You'll only be burned just a little bit. Don't worry about it. And now we find out that the clowns down there in Arizona said that they found was it 8,000 more votes for the now and still president Donald Trump? Yeah, Donald Trump. Sorry, the now and still president Joseph Biden. They found another 8,000 votes for him, and everybody who won. Of course, you know, if they would have found that there was, now they need to find out that was the cover-up. They wanted to find that out when he won. That means all the Republicans that were elected will won also, because how could you have one distracted from the other? There should be some sort of mystery there. They're not going to get the same amount of votes because they're voting in different areas. But this stuff, I can't get any of this stuff to work.
None of my stuff is working. So, I don't know. I got all this stuff here, it's lining up, but it's not working. Anyway, this is what I wanted to say. Arizona, did I finish with this clown down here? Let me go back. I mean, I know we're going back and forth, but that's one of the things we're going to get to. We're going to get to Arizona as soon as we finish this case down here in Florida with the CDC and the COVID-19. The Herald, which is the newspaper down there, as I said before, will continue to report the difference in total cases and deaths from one day to the next in stories of new cases and deaths, as this is consistent with the way data has been presented in the daily stories since the beginning of the pandemic. Did you know Florida COVID-19 vaccine rate? About 12,130,630 eligible Floridians, 56.5% of the state's population, had completed the two-dose series of either Pfizer, BioNTech, or Moderna vaccines, or have completed Johnson & Johnson single-dose vaccine, according to the CDC. 56%. Now, there's over 40% that have not gotten anything. And what are we going to do with these people? See, you don't need a million people around you to get the virus. You need one person. One person. And remember, you say, well, we get the virus, one person's got it, he can't spread it to everybody. Yes, he can. Yes, she can. Yes, the little kid can. The problem, will you get it? And it's over an 87% chance you will get it, even though you have your shots. Now, the thing is, the catch-all is, that if you do get it, you won't get it as bad. Did you see what happened on the, I don't watch the View, my wife watches The View, but I was watching, I was eating lunch, I think early, and they broke in during the middle of the news program. He said, oh, we have the special, this breaking news. The vice president is in New York. She was to appear on The View this morning. And they found out that two of the hosts, I think it's the lawyer, and I forgot the other young lady. She was a Republican. She's announcing now. Anyway, they both were tested, and they found out that they had COVID. So they had to be removed from the show. They stopped the show. They had to be removed from the show. And the vice president, who did not have any contact with them before she got there, had to be sent to a different room. And they did. They interviewed her, but she was in another room. So this, anybody can get it. And by the way, these two hosts have their shots already. That Pfizer. They got their shots, but they showed no signs. They weren't having any signs of ailments or how they sick they were or any. They had no disruption. They had no signs that they had a problem. None. So the thing is that, what do you do? You don't know where you're going to get it from. You don't know who you're going to get it from. All you know is that you can still get it. I went to a first time out, I went to my oldest daughter's party. She had a party for her birthday party. Let me put it that way. She had a birthday party, and I went. I went to that birthday party, and all these things, I'm trying to get all these loaded up, and I can't get them loaded. It's, you know why? Because they're all going so slow. They're all going slow. So, oh, I got one, sorry. So, let me just play this one. This is about mass wearing the mask. They had, I want you to hear some of these people who are completely off their rockers. Just listen to this.
Seen tonight, and it's good news. Very late today, a formal CDC panel coming forward and authorizing Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine booster shots for seniors. Health experts say this is another tool in the arsenal that will help fortify some of the more vulnerable people and also slow the spread and help eventually, hopefully, end the pandemic. That is what's happening at the highest levels of government in consultation with the experts. Meanwhile, on the ground in many places, including state governments, you have MAGA-fueled campaigns to basically go against these very tools. Florida has a new Surgeon General who is basically against using masks and against vaccine mandates and has even downplayed the benefits of vaccines on a medical basis. Now, there's a new rule there for schools where they say kids exposed to COVID who are asymptomatic can just go back to school and don't even need a mask. We also saw something we mentioned to you earlier in the program. Parents who were against masking in Florida erupting at this school board meeting when officials moved to defy the governor's mask ban.
The mask mandate and the defiance of the governor's executive order is a way to control our children.
It seems like you feel that children could be seen and not heard. Hijacking the breath of our children and exerting unconstitutional control over them, it really seems like you want universal masking forever.
Your power-hungry dictatorship has gotten out of control.
We are sending our kids without masks. This will not continue.
A lot of energy there, clearly on both sides. The school board backed down from mandating masks. Studies do show that wearing masks in schools has reduced the transmission of COVID. And for at-risk youth who aren't vaccinated yet, that is certainly a priority. Meanwhile, the anti-science resistance to masks and vaccines is correlated with places that have problems with ongoing infection rates and higher hospitalizations. In other words, the people bearing the brunt of this are the people doing it, but also anyone who lives near them. Multiple states are adopting what are called crisis standards of care. Rachel Maddow and others have been blowing the alarm on this. This is not good. This is the last resort methods that are used to ration care when there has been such overwhelming problems or caseloads in a hospital that there simply aren't enough resources to go around. That's not how it's supposed to be in the United States of America. COVID patients from Idaho overwhelming hospitals in neighboring Washington state, where the governor is hitting Idaho's lack of mask or vaccine mandates. It's a very conservative state. We're also seeing a domino effect when people choose to hold out on or refuse to get vaccinated.
Now, these morons, they are morons. I don't believe you can't call someone who's a moron a moron. Don't tell me about any... I grew up in a Catholic school. And I never heard the bullshit that they try to blame Catholics. Don't want you to do this. Don't want you say you wouldn't do. That's bullshit. That's all I'm telling you. It's not true. We got people now that are trying to tell you you shouldn't wear a mask because if you get it, you're not going to be sick. First of all, they told us it wasn't there. There was no virus. That's all in your mind. Are you kidding me? Are you actually kidding me? These people are so innate and so much have so much bullshit on their brain that they try to say anything. You're trying to take the breath of our kids away. What? What? I mean, what? Does this make any sense, what they're saying? Do you believe any of this nonsense? Come on. Come on. Tell me. Tell me you don't believe this. Tell me it's not true. I mean, I just can't believe how we got here. I just can't believe how we did we get here. I just can't believe.
They say we only use a fraction of our brain's true potential. Now, that's when we're awake. When we're asleep, our mind can do almost anything.
Such as?
Well, imagine you're designing a building, right? You consciously create each aspect. But sometimes it feels like it's almost creating itself, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, like I'm discovering it.
Genuine inspiration, right? Mm-hmm. Now, in a dream, our mind continuously does this. We create and perceive our world simultaneously, and our mind does this so well that we don't even know what's happening. That allows us to get right in the middle of that process.
How?
By taking over the creating part. Now, this is where I need you. You create the world of the dream. We bring the subject into that dream, and they fill it with their subconscious.
How could I ever acquire enough detail to make them think that it's reality?
Well, dreams, they feel real while we're in them, right? It's only when we wake up that we realize something was actually strange. Let me ask you a question. You never really remember the beginning of a dream, do you? You always wind up right in the middle of what's going on.
I guess, yeah.
So how did we end up here?
That's the problem. How did we end up here? Is this really a dream? Maybe this is not really happening. This is a dream. Do you remember how you got here? Ask yourself that. Do you remember how you got here? And if you can't remember how you got here, does that make that a dream? Does that make this a dream because you can't remember how you got here? There are so many things that we do not know, and we agree less with. I mean, remember, we need to remember got people like, oh, Mayor Giuliani. Mayor Giuliani. Just remember what he says.
The company whose chairman is a close associate and business partner of George Soros, the biggest donor to the Democrat Party, the biggest donor to Antifa, and the biggest donor to Black Lives Matter. My goodness, what do we have to do to get you to give our people the truth?
These are the people who are trying to fight you. Dripping with shit coming down from the sides of their face. How can you fight someone that is completely stupid and is a moron? How do you fight anybody like that? You know, I'm trying to remember who it was, what show it was yesterday. It might have been Ari Melbo or Last Word. We said, well, maybe it was late night, 11 o'clock. Anyway, what was said was, you know, you could always agree, you can always make an agreement between two people. Always, no matter what you all don't like, there has to be something that two people can agree on. There always is. They agree that you're stupid. You say, he'll say, yeah, you're stupid. All right. We don't agree on that. But, you know, they'll agree that maybe if we're both stupid, maybe we should look the thing up again and find out why we misunderstood the story. But if you can't even get to that point, if you can't get to the point that, hey, maybe I'm really stupid. Maybe I'm really not quite as smart as I thought I was. Maybe. And how do you find out whether or not you're as smart as you thought you were? How do you find that out? Well, what you do is you need a third party to clue you in on what's going on. Because if you don't have two people that agree on anything, you will never make an agreement on anything. You don't have to like one another. You don't have to go along with one another. But you need two people to agree. If it's raining outside, it's raining outside. You need two people to agree to that. And if you can't get two people to agree to that, then you have a problem. You really have a problem. So the thing is that if two people can't agree on anything, I don't know. How do you get along with that? How do you get along with people not agreeing? I just can't see how that would ever work. I can't agree, see how that would ever work. Because it's so difficult. And what it shows is that there are so many things that we need to understand about one another. There are so many things that we need to look at and say, you know, you might be right. That's one thing. There are so many things that you could say that, hey, you know, you might be right on this. And if you can't say you might be right on this, I don't know how you ever get anything done. I don't know how ever you get anything done. I just don't know. I just don't know. Just don't know how you could ever agree on anything. Because if you can't agree on anything, if you're not going to agree, then how the hell are you going to get anything done? How would you ever agree on getting anything done? I don't know. You say, oh, let me get anything done. Now, we have a, I'm still waiting for these things to get through. None of them has gone through yet, except for one of the clips. And I'm sorry, that's the way I put them in the studio this morning. I should have waited like 2 minutes between each one, but I didn't. I don't want to set up bum 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 bum. So we're going to have to do without these clips today because I don't think I'm going to be ready to play them before we leave the show today. But One of the things, again, that we needed to talk about. What's going to happen? And they were talking about this on one of the shows. I can't remember which one it was. Might have been Ari. These people, these so-called Republican members who for years saw that this day was coming where they never could vote on anything again because they wouldn't have the authority to vote on anything again. They had the authority, but they could never change anything because there are less and less of them every single day. And the more people come in from another country, they don't want to deal with them. They don't want to deal with them. So they know they're not going to get the federal government back. They haven't won the federal government. I think this is the first. Trump was the last one win the federal government before Bush. And it was really going to be very bad for the next Republican member to become president. Because everybody in the country votes then. So what they said, what we're going to do, the states actually control everything, not the federal government. So let's get in on the state level. Let's get in the governor's seat. Let's get in at the city council or the county commission. Then we'll control who the governors are. And that's what they did. They took their time. It took 10, 15, 20 years. They took over the government. Now, there's also what's called Secretary of State. Secretary of State is someone who controls how, in most states, controls how the government handles the business of voting. The government from that state. And if the Secretary of State doesn't agree how the voting was made, then the Secretary of State will change it. And if the Secretary of State changes it, and you're not part of that change, you're out of luck. Because the Secretary of State will then take you out of the loop, which is what they're trying to do. And right now, we want to win, but the problem is, in the last states that were won by Biden, 10 out of the 15 GOP people are in those states as Secretary of State. 10 out of 15. So we're going to win 5 at least, but we could possibly lose 10. Because the Secretary of State will make it so hard for you to vote that you won't. I forgot what state it is, but they don't want you to, there's not going to be any more voting by mail. Now, of course, this also hurts the other side. It just ain't black folks and dark folks and folks like that, and white folks also are not going to be able to vote. They think that less of their people, this will hurt less of their people. Because all the Democrat people, they figure, are all slipshod and have to get help to vote. Our people don't have to help get vote. Our people don't have to do that. So there's a major problem with that. If our people don't have to worry about how the vote goes. If our people don't have to worry about how the vote goes, then you know what? That's what they're saying, if our people. They're talking about their people as a, as in a, they're talking about their people as of, Republicans. That's the only ones they're talking about. They don't care about anybody else. They don't care about anybody else. And if they don't care about anybody else, they'll put their own products and their own information down on why they can vote and how they can say you can't vote here and you can't vote there. But you have to vote here, and you have to vote on this date in this particular area. They don't care because they figure that this is not going to hurt them as it will hurt you. That's what they believe.
Some of this may, to be real, sound like the same old fake, tough studio gangster talk from discredited MAGA figures. And I get that. And you may say, well, what are we talking about? And why is this the news? Because some of that does just reek of the past. Here's why this matters. Here's why you have to keep an eye on this as a citizen, as a civic matter. I'm not talking about partisan politics. I'm talking about whether we continue to function as a democracy, because there are some really important, disturbing new signs that the Republican Party's future will remain linked to these attacks on democracy, even reinforcing them. Take this report that I want you to know about tonight. Nonpartisan. Reuters, the wire service, they have this special report where they looked at all of these elections in key battleground states for the future that I'm talking about. And they found that in upcoming races for the powerful, pivotal state jobs overseeing elections, the majority of Republican candidates running are still publicly on record in denial about Trump's loss, about the results of the very kinds of elections they are running to oversee. 10 out of 15 Secretary of State candidates there in battleground states on the Republican side, wrongly claiming that the last election was either stolen from Trump or some further investigation is needed. Those are the people who could be in power deciding whether to honor election results or try tricks to overturn them. Donald Trump's effort to overthrow the results was sloppy, tardy, disorganized. But across Republican Party leadership, the response has not been to put that sloppy, failed embarrassment behind them, or to say that was the past, or to say that was just him. This was not necessarily automatically predictable last November, or even on January 6th, when you had sort of the grassroots rage. This is the elite leadership of the modern Republican Party, and its response has been to try to prepare and ready a more organized long-term framework to overturn future elections. With the blueprint, the propaganda, and even, as I just showed you, these candidates all running in plain sight.
Now, to give you a background on this, you have a couple of pretty heavyweight lawyers on this January 6th committee investigating what happened. You know, of course, they've already sent 4 subpoenas out to, of course, you know, the chief of staff for the president and Bannon and Cattell, I believe who is the spokesman or the communication person for the Secretary of State. He was chief of staff for the Department of Defense. So they're going to have major involvement in how these people are going to, what they're going to say. And January 6th committee, they met and they subpoenaed all these Trump advisors. One of them, Mr. Bannon, reportedly communicated with Mr. Trump on December 30th, urged him to focus his efforts on the January 6th meeting, the committee said. He also was present at the meeting at the Willard Hotel the day before the violence started. That's right. They say he was there. Where plans were discussed how to try to overturn the results of the election the next day. This is what the committee, the January 6th committee, stated. He was quoted as saying, all hell is going to break loose tomorrow. And we have to kill Biden's administration in the crib. This is what he said. So we're talking about people who are completely terrorists. These are people who are complete terrorists. Anarchists. The President of the United States is one of them. He's an anarchist. He's the lead anarchist. But see, here's the problem. Trump is now voting to fight the subpoenas. He has no executive privilege anymore. He's not the President of the United States, and that's not the way it works. Yeah, you can put things away and hide them for 60 and 70 years, but he can't put January 6th away because we all saw it. Now we're going to ask him, what's this all about? I mean, it's just like saying, we got the guy that shot President Kennedy. But we want him to be silent for the next 6 years till after he dies before we arrest him. Why are you going to arrest him if he's dead? He can't use executive privilege anymore on things that have already happened, and you're not president anymore. How's that even relevant that this man thinks he can do this? I mean, it's so ludicrous. It is so ludicrous. This man is completely out of his mind. But this is the type of person that we are dealing with. These are the type of people that we are dealing with. These are the type of people that we are dealing with. So how do we, as people that are talking to individuals, are supposed to be our lawyers and our executives and the people that we put in office as the people who are sworn to protect us. They swore to protect us. They didn't swear not to protect us. They swore to protect us. This is a problem. This is a major problem. How do we take this out of here? How do we take this out of here? That's what I want to know. How do we take the people who have not shown any possibility of understanding what has gone wrong? This man thinks he's still president. That's why he wants to claim executive privilege. But he is not president. He is not president. And this is a major problem. So, What do we do? What are we to do? And they're talking about it now on Dateline. And I don't know if you all can hear it. But
I think this is very important, and I think it means they are ramping things up, and I think you're
This is Luke Broadwater speaking at the moment.
Thank you. can make criminal referrals if they want to, but what's important for the congressional investigation is the public's right to know and understand what this was all about. And I think given that they can, many of these people continue to, you know, to this day, to promote the big lie despite embarrassments like today's Arizona bogus audit, that needs to be shown for what it is. And I think when you see the kind of money that these people made by promoting these big lies, I mean, look at all the money that was raised by Donald Trump, by organizations that many of these people are involved in now. All of that needs to be shown and can be shown through this investigation so they understand that there's a lot more to this that they are not seeing in the underground. And there's a lot of people out there, unfortunately, who not just believe this big lie, but they are writing checks in support of it. And really what they're doing is supporting a bunch of, you know, grifters who aren't going to deliver, just like they did. You know, there's a lot of money spent in Arizona. Look what you got, you know. It's so bad that they're putting it out on a Friday at 4 p.m. when you don't put out good news.
56 more votes for Joe Biden is what this is ever going to produce. I want to focus in on the one of these four who responded to the New York Times with you, Luke, and give me the last word on this. Cash Patel said, I will continue to tell the truth to the American people about the events of January 6th. Then this is the American people's representative. Is he saying that he will testify before the January 6th committee about?
To hear that, if they could, and I was hoping everybody could, because I did not have, I should have disconnected the laptop and brought it closer to the TV. So I hope everybody heard that, could hear. I turned up as loud as I could. I hope it wasn't blurred out because it was up loud. But this is what we are dealing with. The Daragon Arizona ninja fakes that took legal votes and looked at all of them. I don't live in Arizona, but it took everybody's vote who voted in Arizona. These people had no right getting that information. They had no right getting this information. They had no right getting this information, but they were put together by the former bimbo who was in charge. And that bimbo gave them the ability to create this. Well, of course, he gave them the consent to, but the state, which is Republican control, said, we're going to do this. Because our orange man in the White House wants us to do it. He'll commend us. And we'll find these votes, these missing 11,000 or something votes, he said, 111,000. They found more votes for Joe Biden. How many other places? So Philadelphia wants to do this. Wisconsin wants to do this. And Texas wants to do this. Who cares about Texas? He won Texas. But Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, he lost. The orange man in the White House,
the former Orange Man, the present Orange Man, who was a former, resident at the White House. What are we to do with people that are like this? I mean, this is just outrageous. How the hell can we go along with a guy who don't give a damn about us? He doesn't care about us. He does not care about us. If he did, we wouldn't have the problems we have today if he cared about us. I mean, it's so outrageous. It is just so outrageous. It is just so outrageous. I tell you, I get so freaking worked up when these morons, when they do call in sometimes, they know that you're going to get, so most of them don't call in, except for that one guy. They can't explain any of this. They can't explain why Arizona is not showing any 100,000 or more people that voted for Trump. They can't find out why. They don't even care why. As you heard, they did this to make money because someone has to pay for the legal fees that he's going to endure. He's going to endure a hell of a lot of legal fees. Let me turn this thing down here. They compromised. So all the voting machines in Arizona now have to be made over. That means the people in Arizona are now going to have to play for new voting machines because they can't use those voting machines. They're showing now the Arizona GOP-backed audit failed to prove, and they're announcing it now at 4 o'clock. Ooh, on a Friday. Oh, this is going to get a lot of publicity. This means the tabulation equipment counted and the ballots that are designed to do so, the results reflect the will of the voters. Okay, but I'm sure it won't be. Board members told the truth in face of angry phone calls, emails, et cetera, et cetera. Will they accept the truth now? Will they? Will these so-called lunacy bimbos who heard from that former Orange White House executive that he won by millions and millions of votes and that Biden stole the election? And who cares about Texas launching an election probe? Who cares? He, that fool guy in a wheelchair, Abbott, was forced by Trump to do this forensic audit. I mean, this makes no damn sense. How could he force him? He's not the president. He's not the president. I mean, what's he checking in Texas that's going to help him? Nothing in Texas is going to help him. Nothing in Texas will help Trump win the election. Nothing.
I mean, this is one of the most secure elections in American history. I mean, I just don't understand it. I just don't understand it. I don't understand it at all. I don't understand it. I just don't understand why we even speak about this bull. I just don't understand why we take our time to speak about this bull. I just don't understand why. Because it's just so ludicrous. It's just so ludicrous. It's just one of these things that some people just go about and I don't know what. I just don't know what. Just don't know what. Well, I have getting off this clown for a little while, for a few 1 minute or so here. Everybody knows, I guess I talked about this over the years. I got a unit in my back called the spinal cord stimulation unit, and this was a result of having a bad sciatica attack on my leg. I couldn't sit down or sit in a car for more than 7 or 8 minutes. And they put this unit in my back, about the size of a pack of cigarettes, very thin, that had and had contacts for, I believe, 8 different contacts where it could, on my nervous system, where it would put a probe. The wire is very, very thin, hairline wire, like a hair, as I said, hairline wire. Anyway, I had it in, and ever since I had that unit in me, I have not had one spinal cord event. And it has worked like a charm. Well, I turned it off. Well, what happened was, sometimes this unit in my back, I don't know what the unit is called, but the whole thing is called spinal cord stimulation surgery. And what happened was that the fatty part of my right hip. And what they did was they connected that to 8 different places on my spinal cord. And I'm telling you, it really worked. Whenever I have a handheld unit, and this handheld unit, I can go to each one of those connectors and stimulate. It's like a unit that anybody ever go to a chiropractor they have, and they can put this unit on you, and it gives a little electrical charges to the system. Well, this is an internal, so it works even better. And whatever it is, and it doesn't correct what's there, but it gives your mind a different signal that it's not really happening. Anyway, now this don't happen to everybody, because I believe only about 70-76% of the people that get the surgery, it actually works for them. So I don't know why it's a lot of gobbledygook. I have no idea what it is, but that's what I've been told by the doctors. All right. The other day I was really bad. Oh, I didn't have my unit on, and I was going to my therapy class, and we were doing the lifts where you lay on the bed and you lift your butt up off the off the whatever you're sitting on or laying on, and you hold it, and then you put it back down. You got to do that about, two groups of 10. Anyway, it was a mother the first time, and then it got easier. But I tell you, my body the next day and after that was, in bad shape. So, and then I come to find out my unit wasn't on. Now, how does unit, it's in my back. So you don't open up the back every time you want to charge it. It has a strap, it has a little pouch in it. It's a Velcro strap that is very thin. It's like nylon. And so I wrap it around me and I turn it on, and then it connects directly to the unit in my back, and it charges it that way. So this is something I always have to charge. As long as I can charge the charger, and the charger is sitting in the cradle in my bedroom. And it lasts for about 6 weeks without charging. So what happened was that I thought was the reason why my back was bothering me, and because the unit wasn't on. Because sometimes it works so well that I forget to charge it sometimes. Now, when I had this 2013. So, and I was always charging it in time and whatnot, but hey, after a time, I forgot. So it's going out a couple of times, and I had to recharge. And how I knew it went out was that my legs started bothering me, my back started bothering me. Anyway, so what I did was I went home and charged it. Felt fine, felt a little better, but my back was still bothering me. My left side, my right side was bothering me. So that's why I turned it up. So I left like that for days, a couple of days, and boy, I really wasn't feeling well. I wasn't walking correctly. Anyway, I turned the thing off, and I feel so much better. So evidently, I had the thing up too high. So I'm feeling much better, but this is where we're at. Now, getting back to our last bit with this clown here, what do we do? What do we do? I wanted to get this other one in, but I'm going to have to wait till next week and play these, because there was a couple of things here that I wanted us to play. There's a book by George Will that he has out, and it defines what happiness is. Is happiness, people define happiness as happiness. Some people define happiness. Let me see how this is read over here. Some people define happiness as the unhappiness of everyone else. Now that is loaded, but that's what that is. Some people define happiness when other people are unhappy. This is what the red man, the orange man in the White House is all about his entire life. If he has you unhappy, he's happy as hell. And that's a book that you have to get. It's by George. I would never tell you to get anything by George Will, because I couldn't stand the man. But the man has seen how far the shenanigans that he has. Well, I don't believe that he ever put up with the same stuff that Trump did. But he saw how the people, and has seen now how the people in his party have gone completely overboard. And he doesn't like it either. He does not like it either. So we need to make sure that when we get back to having an ability to we get the ability to understand each other, which we need to understand each other. We need to understand each other. And that's the one thing that we need to upload. We need to upload that too. That's the main thing that we need to believe in. We need to believe in that. We need to believe that every single thing that we see is everything that we see and hear is not always what we see. As I say in my main thing of here, just because you are a Democrat or a Republican and you've been that way your entire life, maybe you were wrong. You never know. Maybe you were wrong. You never know. Because just because things have always been that way, and that's the way you have voted your entire life. Hey, what can I say? There are things one people have seen, Horatio, that you don't really need to know. There are things that you have seen that you really don't need to know the rest. Well, I want to say this has been such an outrageous show today because my problem because I screwed up how all the clips were supposed to be played. But at least we heard that main thing from the understanding about the audit from the people on the air today. I hope everybody was able to hear that. I'm going to listen to this the show after and see if I was able to hear what the people said. And I hope it wasn't strange. Well, I want everybody to have a great weekend and say a prayer for my friend Thomas Fortenberry and his wife, really his wife Celine Fortenberry. Celine's mother died, and it'd been nice if I could have got down there. I would have went down there with him if I could, but my legs could not carry me, and I was afraid something would happen. So, I want everybody to say a prayer for Celine's mother and say a prayer for everybody that you know that needs to have a prayer said for them. Now, I want you to listen to a little bit of You Got Trouble.
Well, it's the weather, of course.
Everybody have a great weekend. Everybody have a great weekend.
Well, it's the weather, of course. When it's in season.
Now, Mars, I need some ideas if I'm going to get your town out of the serious trouble it's in.
River City ain't in any trouble.
Well, then I have to create some. Must create a desperate need in your town for a boys' band. So why does everybody keep rubbering into the billiard parlor?
Oh, they just got in a new pool table.
They must have seen a pool table before.
No, just billiards.
That'll do it. You just sit where you are. And remember, if you see that music teacher...
Are you Mr. Dunlop?
Yeah?
Well, either you're closing your eyes to a situation you do not wish to acknowledge, or you are not aware of the caliber of disaster indicated by the presence of a pool table in your community. Well, you got trouble, my friend. Right here, I say trouble right here in River City. Why, sure, I'm a billiard player. Certainly mighty proud to say I'm always mighty proud to say it. I consider that the hours I spend with a cue in my hand are golden. Help me cultivate horse sense and a cool head and a keen eye. Did you ever take and try to give an ironclad leave to yourself from a three-rail billiard shot? But just as I say it takes judgment, brains, and maturity to score in a bop-line game, I say that any boob can take and shove a ball in a pocket. And I call that sloth the first big step on the road to the depths of degradation. I say first, medicinal wine from a teaspoon, then beer from a bottle. And the next thing you know, your son is playing for money in a pinchback suit and listening to some big out-of-town Jasper hearing him tell about horse race gambling. Not a wholesome trotting race, no, but a race where they set down right on the horse. Like to see some stuck-up jockey boy setting on Dan Patch? Make your blood boil, well, I should say. Now, friends, let me tell you what I mean. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pockets in a table. Pockets that mark the difference between a gentleman and a bum, with a capital B, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. And all week long, your River City youth will be frittering away. I say your young men will be frittering. Frittering away there noontime, supper time, chore time too. Get the ball in the pocket. Never mind getting dandelions pulled or the screen door patched or the beefsteak pounded. Never mind pumping any water till your parents are caught with a cistern empty on a Saturday night, and that's trouble. Yes, you got lots and lots of trouble. I'm thinking of the kids in the Knickerbocker, shirt tail young ones, peeking in the pool hall window after school. You got trouble, folks, right here in River City. Trouble with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. Now, I know all you folks are the right kind of parents. I'm going to be perfectly frank. Would you like to know what kind of conversation goes on while they're loafing around that hall? They were trying out Bevo, trying out Cubabs, trying out TaylorMades like cigarette fiends, and bragging all about how they're going to cover up a telltale breath with sense. And one fine night, they leave the pool hall, heading for the dance at the armory, libertine men and scarlet women, and ragtime, shameless music that'll grab your son, your daughter, with the arms of a jungle, animal instinct, masteria. Friends, the idle brain is the devil's playground. Trouble!
Oh, yes, oh.
Right here in River City. With a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. We surely got trouble. Right here in River City. Got to figure out a way to keep the young ones moral after school. Mothers of River City, heed that warning before it's too late. Watch for the telltale signs of corruption. The minute your son leaves the house, does he rebuckle his knickerbockers below the knee? Is there a nicotine stain on his index finger? A dime novel hidden in the corn crib? Is he starting to memorize jokes from Cap'n Billy's whiz bang? Are certain words creeping into his conversation? Words like swell. Aha, and so's your old man. But if so, my friends, you got trouble.
Oh, yeah, no.
Right here in River City. With a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. We've surely got trouble. Right here in River City. Remember the main Plymouth Rock and the Golden Rule. Oh, we got trouble. We're in terrible, terrible trouble. That game with the 15 numbered balls is the devil's tool.
Devil's tool.
Oh, yes, we got trouble, trouble, trouble.
Oh, yes, we got trouble. Big trouble.
With a T.
With a capital T.
Gonna rhyme it with P.
That rhymes with P.
Stands for pool.
That stands for.
Remember, my friends, listen to me because I passed this way but once.
The props, when you're down. The headache, the heartache, the backache, the flop, the sheriff who has got you out of town. The old thing when your heart beats like a drum. The closing when the customers don't come. There's no business like, no business like, no business I know. You get word before the show has started that your favorite uncle died.